95.
In my Bible, I have marked Romans chapter 14. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Romans chapter 14. We'll read that verse here in just a few moments, a little jumping off point for our lesson. As you're sailing back in, finding that song of invitation, let me welcome everyone that's out with us here today. Got a good number out with us. We had some folks that have had to leave here a few moments ago for some health concerns. Brother Steve will bring us into that here in a few moments as I get this presentation set up here for you. Isn't it amazing the things that you just assumed sometimes that you did? So while that's warming back up, let's go ahead and begin a kind of an introduction, if you will. If you are visiting with us, again, we want you to feel like our honored guests here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand, they're all interested in us, but this sacred volume right here, the Bible, what it has to say. We believe that it is as it reports to be the words of God. One time, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 said, I thank God without ceasing for you Thessalonians. Why? He said, for when you receive the words of God, which you've heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the words of God. The Hebrew writer one time said that God has spoken. God is weighing in on the affairs of men and told us exactly what his will is. And Paul in Ephesians 5:17 said, be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. And so I hope you appreciate the fact as I bring forth my lesson. I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here, obviously, to my left in front of you here this morning. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 5, especially for our visitors, I just want to remind us that the elders this year have given us a theme to kind of consider. And that is a church with a mind to work, based upon Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. And every month, what they have asked us to do is to consider one particular characteristic or avenue in which we can serve one another and God in our lives. For instance, last month I believe that you all concentrated on good works. Paul talked about in Titus 2 and 14 how that God had, Christ had redeemed us, that we might be peculiar people, zealous of good works. Next month we're going to talk about, Lord willing, love. Talk about loving God and loving our enemies, loving our fellow man, loving brethren, loving neighbor as ourselves, and things of this nature. But this month, we're talking about the idea of edification. We've brought forth lessons. We've studied those together, what the Bible has to say about edification. And so I want to continue on that this last Lord's Day of July 2021. And I'm going to just utilize the word edify to kind of be a little outline, if you will, in regards to what God has to say about edification. If you have opened your Bibles to Romans chapter 14, beginning verse 19, like I asked a few moments ago, there you recall that Paul there said, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. In our past studies, we noticed the definition of edify and edification, literally the idea of building up, especially from a moral, religious standpoint, edifying one another, building up, making stronger. And so we want to talk about this idea of edify here today and how it is and why it is that God would have us to edify. The first thing I want to point your attention to is the idea of encourage. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, Paul said, so encourage each other, building each other up, just as you are already doing. When you think about edifying, what I want you to think about and understand is that means that we need to encourage one another. The idea of encourage, again, by definition, is give support, confidence, give hope. And I want you to hear the idea of giving. That is, it is an action. It is something that we will do. We wish to encourage our brethren. Again, Paul in Romans 15 and 5 would say, may God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other. The God of endurance and the God of encouragement. You know, God wishes to encourage us, to give us confidence, to give us hope. And what I want you to appreciate is that we are many times the vessel. We are the instrument that God utilizes or wishes to utilize to be able to bring encouragement to one another. Again, in Romans 12, beginning in verse 6, Paul there says, "For we have different gifts," or that is, we have different abilities, "according to the grace which has been given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach." Now listen. "If it is to encourage, then give encouragement." What I want you to understand, that each and every one of us here today have come not only to bring praise, honor, and glory unto God through our worship, but we are here for the mutual edification and encouragement of one another. Encourage one another unto love and good works, the Amplified Version says, of Hebrews 10 in verse 24. Again, in that same book, chapter 3 this time, verse 13, the Hebrew writer would say, "But encourage one another daily while it is still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Why encourage? So we do not sin. Encouragement from my brethren that I can give you and you can give me edifies the individual and thus edifies and strengthens the body of Jesus Christ in Clarksville, Indiana. And I just simply asked again this morning, I've asked this several times of this group, did you come to provide encouragement? Do you walk out of here knowing that I have encouraged someone today? I have spoken some word that gives confidence, that gives hope. My action, the way I have worshiped, my very presence, providing encouragement for my brother. So as I begin this lesson here today, and again, utilizing just the first two letters of each letter that spells the word edify, I want you to see encourage. That's how I can edify my brethren. But also I want you to see this, develop. James talks about the idea of development, in which I wish to speak of it. In James 3 and verse 2, when there he says, "For we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man," that is, fully developed in character, "able to bridle his whole body and heart, entire of nation." What I want you to appreciate here is he talks about the idea of develop, and that is really the idea of maturing. And edification is to develop the individual unto maturity. We encourage what it is that we wish to develop. One of my favorite authors is Dale Carnegie, and he talks quite a bit about Charles Schwab. And one of the things that he points out, Charles Schwab one time said in regards to this idea, he said, "The best way to develop an employee is by providing," listen, "edification and encouragement." Well, thank you, Charles Schwab. I want you to appreciate that that's what the Word of God has to say. And the reason why it is that we edify one another through our encouragement is so that we can develop. That is, that we might be able to mature spiritually. W.E. Vine says, it is used metaphorically in the sense of edifying, promoting the spiritual growth and development of character of believers. And this is what we wish to accomplish. We edify what we wish to encourage, and by encouraging, we develop. That is the idea, to grow, to cause to grow, to become more mature. When we edify other people, we edify our husband, we edify our wife, we edify our children, we edify our employees, we edify our bosses, we are encouraging their growth in whatever it is that they're doing. And so it is for you and I. I like the idea that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, beginning of the idea of growth and development. And we edify one another so that all of us can follow this simple formula. Listen to what he says. He says, "Besides this, Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. Listen to development, if you will. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, who's not developed, you see, and they cannot see afar off. They've forgotten that they were purged from their own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can I help you do that? How can you help me do that? Through edification, by encouraging me in regards to my spiritual pursuit, by your example and by your words and encouragement, you help me develop the spiritual maturity that God wishes for me to have. And so you see why it is we would spend a whole month talking about the idea of edification. Because we wish to develop one another. Well, what else would you pick, by the way? Now it's I. What's I stand for? Well, this is what I chose. The idea to improve. Listen, if you will, the idea of improvement is to enhance, or that is to make better, or to become better. So I edify so that I might help the body of Christ in a local area to improve, to make it better. And by doing that, or I should even begin at the beginning, that is the individual, because when I do that with an individual, then I do that with the body. In Ephesians 4:12, to equip, Paul says, his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ might be, listen, built up. You see, God's interested in edification. Until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of our Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back to and fore on the waves, blown by every wind of teaching by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. The body is improved. Why? Because the individual has been improved. How? Through edification. Through edification that we provide one another. We edify this morning through our worship. One was by singing. You know, speaking to one another through our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The grace in our hearts with the Lord. That's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. So we teach and we admonish. What for? That we may improve in our worship to God. Someone said, well, I just don't know what I can do unto edification to help people be encouraged or help them to develop or help them to improve. Well, it reminds me of a little poem I like to read sometimes. It starts off like this. I have no voice for singing. I cannot make a speech. I have no gift for music. I know I cannot teach. I am no good at leading. I cannot organize. And anything that I write, well, it would never win a prize. But at roll call in a meeting, I always answer, here. You do that? I'm here. When others are performing, I lend the listening ear. After the program is over, I praise its every part. My words are not to flatter. I mean it from the heart. It seems that my gift is neither big nor rare. Just to listen, and encourage, and to fill a vacant chair. But all the gifted people could not so brightly shine were it not for those who use a talent such as mine. You can encourage people. You can help develop people and you can improve individuals and thus the body made up of the individuals by your edification. Edification to improve. But also I want you to see this. It helps form the body. Literally the idea of shape or structure when I'm talking about forms. And think again about building. That's what edification is. In Ephesians 4, 12, well, we'll begin this time in verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves, falling after the craftiness and deceitful of the schemings of men. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, that by which every part supporting ligaments grow and builds itself up in love as every part does its work. When we edify and every part is doing its work, we are building, we are forming, we are shaping God's building. The Greek word there, okedemos, that's how I would say it coming from Pekin, pictures the building of a house. I mean, we still use the word edifice. You ever heard of an edifice? Edifice. I came to this magnificent edifice, this big form, this big structure that has been built up. And Paul utilizes this word. He says, I've got the power to edify. And he later calls himself a wise master builder. That is architecton, where we get the word, you got it, architect, right? Because of the shape and the forms that they design and then build. When Jesus used the word okedomos, or I pronounced it differently this time because I've moved away from Pekin, and so to depict those who might build their house on a rock in Matthew 7:24, or on the sand. And these various gifts that we've read a few moments ago in Ephesians chapter 4, why are they there? So that we might build, that we might shape and form God's spiritual house. Ye also are living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And like any good builder, the Christian carpenter has tools of the trade to assist the process. There are things that make for peace, he said, that helps edify. Love, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, edifies. Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. An analogy that's somewhat instructive. The Gothic arch was a very popular structure in medieval architecture. We still utilize it in modern architecture today. Why? Because it is the strongest geometric shape. Why is that? It is that way because if you just picture it as stones, every stone leans back and relies on the other. And the weight is equally distributed throughout the entire structure. Isn't that interesting? That's the reason why they did it, by the way. I thought it just did it because it looked good. No, it's because you can build an edifice, you see, by utilizing that shape, by how every part works to the edification and strength of the other. And so it is with the Lord's body. We lean upon each other to strengthen the other part. Our edification forms and shapes. And finally, it yields. Yields in this way. I'm talking about what it produces and what it provides. And certainly it provides all these other things, encouragement, development, improvement, structure, and form to the person that receives it. But I want you to see, for those who give it, in Acts 4, 36, I read, and Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means, remember what it meant? Son of encouragement. This man was known that he was an encourager. I want you to appreciate the fact that you're known by the type of person. Even a child is known by his goings, whether they be good or right. I think that's Proverbs 11:20 or 20 and verse 11. I don't remember which, one of those two. I want you to appreciate we are known. You know, some people walk in and a room lights up. Some people walk in and somebody turned off the lights. I mean, what happened here, right? And what I want you to appreciate is that when we edify, And we're developing and we're proving people and we are forming a structure that is built to an edifice. It yields for you and I a name, not only among men, but among God. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, if anyone gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, I truly tell you that that person will certainly not lose his reward. Just a cup of cold water. Someone says, I'm thirsty. Here it is. Jesus said, that small act of encouragement, of development, of improving, of structure and building is something that God sees and God rewards. In Matthew 25:31 through the end of the chapter, you may recall that Jesus pictures the judgment scene, separating those on the right and the left, the sheep from the goats. Hey, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was sick and in jail and in prison. Y'all came and visited me. I was a stranger, you took me in. When do we see you, Lord? As much as you did it to one of these littles that believed on me, you did it unto me. When we're encouraging one another, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, it's just like you're encouraging me. And I take note, and you shall not lose your reward. Well, that's my lesson. I've been titled Edify. I want you to appreciate it. It goes with encouragement. Encouraging one another. And by that encouragement, we help develop. That is, we help mature. We help improve. We help form. That is, we build strength and structure in God's house. And it yields, ladies and gentlemen, both temporal and everlasting blessings to those that will edify. You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Maybe there's one in our audience not been obedient to the words of Jesus when he said, go into the world, preach the good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. Wonderful opportunity to do that. Repent of your sin. I'll help you make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will baptize.